Thank you, Alex. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you are not already there, to Luke chapter 1. Holiday bonus. I was in second or third grade, and most of you know, maybe some of you don't, but I was born and raised Catholic, and up till third grade, I went to parochial school. I went to Catholic school, and we would go over to church, from school to church, quite often, but when I was in second or third grade, we were the children, and I don't remember whether it was second or third, because the nun that was in charge wasn't my teacher. If it was, I would remember, but I'm pretty sure it was third grade. So it was the last year I was actually going to be there in class. And so we went over to practice our Christmas play, like you guys did this morning. I saw you guys starting, and Stacy was, "Angels, come in! You know, shepherds, come in! It's time. Mary and Joseph were up here. Tanya, hurry up. Maybe you could be Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. I don't know." But and my role, my part that year was a big part. And it was a part that I wanted really badly. And my part, being Catholic, was to say the Hail Mary and lead the entire congregation. And, you know, Catholics, Christmas and Easter, big, big day for churchgoers, Christmas, to lead them in the Hail Mary. Now, maybe you don't know that prayer, and that's okay. And it goes like this. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay, first half of the prayer, you may have recognized, comes directly from Luke. Second half of the prayer, not so much. So I was up there practicing my lines. I was doing it in front of, you know, first, second, third graders, all the nuns and everybody. And being a second grader, I did the Alan Funt thing. Do you remember Alan Funt? When he would have the kids say the darndest things, and he would do the Pledge of Allegiance, and the kids would say, "One nation, underdog, invisible." You know, you just get the words wrong. You're in third grade. It's not easy to memorize stuff. And so I did it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And then I forgot the line, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." I went straight to, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us." And I did that once, and the nun stopped me. "Mr. Wadsworth!" And she said the line. But she didn't tell me I was supposed to say the line, and I didn't have it in my head. So I started over. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Pray for us sinners." "Mr. Wadsworth!" And she'd say, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." And I would just keep going. "Holy Mary, Mother of God." And we did it like four times. And then she got red. And she said, "Mr. Wadsworth, get back to school right now." And I walked back to school. And I wasn't in the Christmas play. I got kicked out in third grade. Because I didn't get it right. And I can laugh about it now. Through many years of counseling and therapy and... We need to get this right, beloved. This is our message. This is the thing that we have that no other religion in the world has. And we need to get this right. Our lives and the lives of others depend on it. In Luke's gospel, Luke was a physician. He writes very particularly. He has a great vocabulary. And it's wonderful. It brings us into the Christmas story like none of the other gospels do. We see fantastic things and big words and poetically come into a situation and a scene that basically happened in a barn. Well, it was a cave. It was dirty and dungy and gross. It was non-hospitable. It was rough, but Luke has such wonderful words for us. Now, in the sixth month, that was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel, one of the very few angels we get to know the names of, was sent from God to a city called in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Because we need to get this right, because God's gospel, God's message is sent by messengers, we need to make the announcement. Historically, we have a situation here, and particular people, particular places, even a particular angel. In the sixth month, anybody reading this would be able to know when this was, if they were of a mind to go and find John's parents, John's family, Jesus' family. You and I can't do that. But we can see and know and understand that God sent his messenger. That's what the word angel means, being translated. It means messenger. It's what the angels are. It's part of their role, their capacity. And specifically, look, this angel was sent from God. It wasn't an individual mandate. The angel didn't think of it on its own. It specifically took its orders from God to go and do this thing. He was the emissary with the message to Joseph, a man of Nazareth in Galilee. To Joseph was the descendant of David, once again fulfilling the promises of Isaiah and the promises made long ago to a virgin named Mary. This is one of the hardest things for people to understand and believe, because it's not physically possible to have children. Virgins don't have children. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm sure maybe you have read in Reader's Digest or Paul or heard Paul Harvey tell a story about a Civil War, you know, other virgin births. They don't exist. They're not real. Those of you who are Star Wars fans and have watched all six movies? Yeah, six movies repeatedly so that you can do the lines. In the movie where Anakin becomes the trainer, do you remember what his mother says to Qui-Gon before Qui-Gon dies? He had no father. Even in movies like Star Wars and in our literature, we are fascinated with virgin births, because the virgin birth is the one and only. We need to make an announcement, and it is wonderfully rich prophetically. You can look at Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, where the virgin will give birth, and he shall save his people from their sins. The things that you and I look for at Christmas, that we celebrate, that we want to hear. Like that old, wonderful, comforting blanket that when you're sick or when you need a touch that reminds you of safety, we need that touch from God. And it's there. Beloved, look at the content of this message. First, he comes in, Gabriel comes in, and he has a greeting for her. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. Hail Mary, full of grace." It's right there. But if you look, you will notice that it is Mary who is the recipient of God's favor, not the one who dispenses God's favor. She receives his favor. Keep your finger here in Luke and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Same word used here. Ephesians chapter 1. Not very far in to this wonderful letter to the Ephesian church. Starting at verse 5. "In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Reading 6 again for the connection to Luke. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely favored on us in the Beloved. The reason why you and I receive God's grace is in Christ. Mary was freely given God's grace and favor as the mother of Christ. You and I have this message. We are the ones who God uses to make the announcement. Please tell somebody. Tell somebody soon. Tell somebody you know about the grace that God has for them in Christ Jesus. This world is hurting. There are people that you and I know that we rub up against us when we go to see our relatives and our loved ones who are in the hospital with cancer, who are getting knee replacement surgery, that need the grace of Jesus. You're sitting in the room with them. You're sitting there waiting for the doctors with them. You're at a restaurant with somebody, and your waitress or your waiter needs the grace of God. Tell them. Tell them that God loves them and that his grace is there in Christ Jesus. We are the ones that have the message. And then make no mistakes. Hail, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Because you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord is with you. When you're making that announcement, when you are the one who is receiving God's grace and trying to give it away to somebody else, the Lord is with you. Maybe you are the one who needs his grace today. I don't know what Mary's situation was. We're not given that. Historically, young ladies her age were all looking for being the chosen vessel of Christ. It's just a historical type thing. We know very little about this virgin engaged to this man. And then he says to her, the Lord is with you. And he goes on to tell her this wonderful message about who this will be, who this child is, before she's even conceived. Look at some of the content of that message. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. She knows it's going to be a boy. It didn't take ultrasound back then. She knew. They could buy the blue for the nursery. She wasn't waiting. And you shall call his name Jesus. No baby books for her. No family giving. Well, what about Oli? Have you ever thought about? They had the name. And then she had the mission. She knew who he would be. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. She's not given the message that he's to be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's another passage. She's not given that he shall save his people from their sins. That's a different passage. She's given this. Her son is going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High God. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That will separate your head from your shoulders, ladies. That's our message. He is Almighty God. Make the announcement. And then be engaged. I have engaged in quotes if you're taking notes. Be engaged. She was engaged to be married. That's not what I mean here. Don't run out and get married or engage. Well, I mean, you could if you want to, but be engaged. Get involved. Mary was waiting. Who know? I mean, maybe she was in prayer. Maybe she was washing clothes. I don't know what she was doing in the house. She was engaged to this man, Joseph. Usually engagements were about a year long until the wedding night. It was very intricately involved, and legally she was married, just not physically actually married. She was engaged. Look at her reaction. This angel comes in and he says, "Greetings, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed. There's one of those Luke words, perplexed at this statement. Well, what? What's so hard to understand? "Hi, how you doing? God's grace is upon you. The Lord is with you." What? That's not really too hard to understand. No, because she didn't know why this angel was there. She was perplexed by the messenger with the message. What kind of salutation this was? What kind of greeting this was? What kind of being this was in front of her? It caused her perplexity and some degree of fear. We know that because the angel says, "Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. It's okay. God has favored you. I'm not here to destroy you like the angels of old, who wiped out entire armies. I'm here to declare to you that you're going to give birth to a son." What would you say if you were her? Wouldn't it be natural for you to say, "Wait a minute, this ain't going to work. I've never known a man. I'm a virgin. This doesn't work." She understands biology. She knows how it happens. It's reasonable. Her response to him is reasonable. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" It's a good question. It's an honest question. It's the right question. The angel answered and said to her, "Nothing's impossible with God." He gives her a lot more detail than that about the actual event of how this is going to happen. You're right. You don't know a man. That's good. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of God is going to cause for you to be with child where you're supposed to have a child. You're not going out to adopt. He's not going to just vaporize and be right there. He's not just going to show up. You're going to give birth. You're going to carry this child. He shall be called the Son of God. And if you need a little bit more proof, go take a look at your cousin Elizabeth, who's way beyond bearing years. She's been barren all her life. She's in her sixth month right now, because nothing is impossible with God. That's why I can say, be engaged. Be engaged with God's word. Don't just wait for Sunday to crack your Bible. Interact with God as he is, as he has declared himself to be. He shall be called the Son of God. Be engaged with this book in knowing Almighty God, so that you can understand and know and be able to make the announcement of how it is that grace does apply to that waiter or waitress, or that person in the hospital waiting room, or somebody in your own family that's coming over for the holidays. Be engaged with God's word. Be engaged with God's people. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here today. I know stuff comes up on Sundays. I know, you know, the schedules are what they are, but Sunday is not the only day we meet in this building. Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesdays. We got to do something on Monday and Tuesday. We got to fill up this week. I don't know what it is going to be, but maybe we should have a cookie baking thing on Monday and Tuesday. Who wants to bake cookies? Be engaged with God's people. Love each other. Know each other. Support each other. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Be engaged with his word. Be engaged with God's people. Be engaged with God. Mary asked a particular question of engagement. Okay, you've made this announcement. You said, "I'm going to have a baby. How is this going to happen?" Don't be afraid to ask God questions. He knows the answers. You can't stump him. Be engaged with God himself. He's not afraid of your questions. You shouldn't be afraid of asking them. He is a personal God. That is why we say salvation is having a personal relationship with God. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of gives and takes. It's knowing God. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. It can happen. It did happen. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus. And he saved his people from their sins. and of his kingdom there will be no end. His kingdom is now and is coming. It is already not yet. Every day you and I live, we are one day closer to it. Be engaged with God. Don't set it aside. And here's the tough one. Here's the hard one. Look at what she says after the angel tells her. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to what you've said." Make the announcement, be engaged, surrender. Mary surrenders to God. She says, "I am the servant of God. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord." She's not a servant to the angel. She's not a servant to the synagogue, the church. She's not a servant to the pastor. She's not a servant to the leadership board. She's not a servant to the worship leader. She's not a servant to the ladies' auxiliary. She's a servant of the Lord. Slave, really. Slaves have no right. She willingly goes and surrenders to Almighty God. She lets go of herself and says, "Look, I am a servant of the Lord." You and I struggle with surrendering to God every day. And we need to surrender to Him, to let go and let God. We have no rights, we have no privileges. God is whom He is, and we are who we are. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me." She doesn't say, "Okay, I'll do it." She doesn't volunteer. She doesn't say, "Go ahead, I give you permission." She says, "May it be done to me." Are you willing? Have you ever thought about, have you ever heard somebody presenting the gospel to them, and or maybe as a Christian, you said this, you know, "I know if I surrender to God, He's going to make me go to Africa or some other place in the world, and I don't want to go. I mean, He's going to make me go somewhere I don't want to go and be a missionary, you know, to some people that stink," or whatever. Mary says, "Be it done to me." Mary doesn't have issues with going to Africa. Her surrender is complete and total to Almighty God. And she's a woman just like you and I. She was about 14 years old when this happened to her, most likely. You know many 14-year-olds who are fully surrendered to Almighty God? I know at least one 44-year-old who isn't. And I'm not talking about my wife. "Let it be done to me." Man, that'll separate your head from your shoulders too, beloved. It's okay, God. Wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you give me, whatever cross to bear, I'll bear it. "Be it done to me according to your word." She is fully surrendered to what God has declared. Because she knows that He has a plan and that His ways are high above our ways. And so what does the angel do? Pats her on the back. "Atta girl, good job." Encourages her, tells her to get into a good fellowship, tells her to read her Bible, tells her, "Okay, wait till 6 o'clock. He leaves. That's it. It's over. No fanfare, no hallelujah chorus, no trumpets, no signs and wonders, no people raising from the dead, no speaking in tongues, no nothing. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." Episode over. Do you and I need attitude adjustments to be more like Mary, the highly favored one. Not more favored than you and I, just a recipient of God's grace like you and I. You and I need to get this right. We need to get it right in our own hearts and minds. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you come to Him in faith and said, "Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Let it be done to me as you have said, Almighty God." Have you surrendered your will, your way, your righteousness to His way and His righteousness? Do you have it right in your own heart, in your own mind first, so that you can give it away to somebody else? The Son of God has come, beloved. Salvation has been won. The war is over. Victory is His. And so we're coming up on Christmas. We're celebrating Advent. The second candle has been lit. And this morning it's December 4th. So we're going to serve communion. We're going to partake of the Last Supper of Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Make an announcement. Be engaged. Surrender. Would the individuals that are serving please come forward? Reading from 1 Corinthians 11. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' The same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's birth until he comes, the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Jesus Christ's death is what secures our forgiveness because he paid the penalty for our sins. But years before that, an angel made an announcement that the Son of God would come. And he came to a virgin, espoused to a man of the line of David, so that you and I would be here today celebrating this table with this bread and this juice. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful for this season and for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to consider the announcement that this angel made to Mary. It's amazing to consider how 10 months from then she was going to give birth, 9 months, 40 weeks, 10 months. And that your Son would take on human flesh. We haven't even talked about that yet. We thank you for making it known to us so that we might celebrate, because he gave his body and his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. May we in this moment surrender to you fully. In his name we pray. Amen.
Lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hill.
Jesus Christ said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." Well, he really said, "Do this in remembrance of me." I said, "Take and eat." When they had finished supper, he took the cup and passed it to his disciples. Father, we are grateful for the blood of Christ represented by this juice. It's an amazing thing to even consider the surrender of a 14-year-old girl. I probably would respond by saying, yeah, if I saw an angel telling me this was going to happen to me, I'd surrender too. But I have a sneaking suspicion that she was fully surrendered to you before this. And so, Lord, not knowing those things, we do consider our own attitudes that need to be adjusted to understand that you are God and we are not. We do thank you for this cup that represents Jesus' blood that was given freely for our salvation. May we examine ourselves and judge the body and the blood of the Lord correctly. In his name we pray. Amen.
Your baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy baby.